Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Christine.
Christine Marie. It's Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. And you actually got to type that whole thing into iTunes for whatever reason.
Why? What happened? Because I don't know. No other Life with the Girlfriends.
No, there's not.
That we are the only ones.
Yeah.
And we better
probably
be.
Don't want to go. I don't want to be confused with those girls. Those girls are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. What's their brand? Who yeah. are these girls? Tell us who are we. I mean, other than being comedic icons.
Wannabes. Comedic icon wannabes.
Wannabes.
Yeah. In our own small circle, we are comedic icons. And
yes.
you know what? That's fine because right now, it just seems like that's all you have. You just have
that's
to
all you
be.
Can hold on to.
That's all you can. I mean, the world is so big and so small at the same time.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like you only have your own, you know, I'm a comedic icon in this small circle.
And it is a small circle.
Here's my reason.
Me and you and Daddy.
There was a fight that occurred last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it could have been like the highest paid fight in the history of fights.
Right.
It's a boxing match.
Right.
One of the last fights I saw on pay-per-view, I went over to a friend's house and saw the McGregor, Mayweatherfield. No, is that his last name?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. McGregor, though, was a fighter, a boxer, or a MMA fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayweatherfield, I hope I'm not saying his name right.
I know.
I'm not saying it right, but
know.
You guys know what I'm talking
yeah.
about. You know, and it was a good fight. But I remember going, it was in Vegas. I'm going, it is midnight. Why can't the fight start already?
Yeah.
But because it's in Vegas time, baby,
they're going
to hold it out.
Oh, they're going to hold it out.
And I don't know what they made, but they made good money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here are these two guys. And who's fighting?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who's fighting. So they're two YouTube stars.
Two YouTube stars.
Non-boxing YouTube stars.
No, just like rival YouTubers.
Rival, yeah, that have like, you know, 2 million followers apiece
yeah.
or whatever.
And we don't even know what they're famous for.
And so YouTube had the brilliant idea. Oh, what they're famous for is really nothing. I mean,
yeah,
like
I know.
Posting videos about their life.
Yeah.
And unique things, you know, and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so YouTube had a pay-per-view and just charged $8.
Mm-hmm.
And 800,000 people gave them $8.
Yeah.
Now, in regular pay-per-view, it's like $65, $95
right.
to see a fight like
right,
that.
Right.
And thank God, because I heard the fight was horrible. I mean, it was just like a lot of pushing, a lot of, you know, like waving your hands around, a lot of hugging. Yeah, it wasn't like a really great fight. Because they know that, hey, I don't want to get pushed in the head.
A lot of lightsabers.
It became into this, big nerd fest.
Yeah.
Which I got to talk about Comic-Con a little
bit. Yeah, exactly.
We've got a huge show. I don't know how we're going to get all in.
How are we going to get it all in? But let's just say who we are first.
Yeah.
You are now newly master's degree
yes.
in education.
Yes.
Instructional
and,
design.
And you have a universal doctorate.
Oh, thank you.
Because, you know, you've got your master's degree already.
Yes.
You know, in psychotherapy.
Yes, yes. Counseling psychology.
There you go.
And a certified coach.
Yes, we both
life
are.
Life coach. We're an author.
Yeah.
Authors of
and
several
our
books.
And class starts Monday. The class. And if you're somebody out there, so go to weightlossandstress.com. You can still sign up. But even if you miss a couple days, it's okay. It's a 30-day
mm-hmm.
class.
Mm-hmm.
Join. It's the class I'm tweaking. It's the last time it will be given for free.
Ooh.
Last time.
I'm shaken.
Yeah, because it's, I'm doing it.
It's that good.
It's that good. I did it for my master's program. I'm tweaking it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the last time. I just feel like I, during the process of me tweaking it.
Yes.
And getting better.
Yes.
I just feel like one more time, you know?
Right. I agree.
And,
So you're pretty interesting, and you know, and so am I, actually,
yeah.
you know. But here on Life with the Girlfriends, we just talk about our life.
That's right. This is not heavy content.
It's not coaching.
Not coaching.
But you know what? We're going to talk about things that hopefully you can take to heart. But we're going to do it in a light way.
I by Adam Carolla.
I do,
Joe
too.
Rogan, but
I
they
do
would
too.
Not officially call themselves coaches.
Oh, no. I'm always even coached up by Dan Savage.
Yeah. Or coached down. Sometimes I have to take a shower. You know, I don't know. But so you're right. During this podcast, Life
right.
with Girlfriends, we need to talk about our life,
yes.
which is probably typical to your life.
Exactly.
And we want you to feel like, hey, you're with a mother and daughter team.
Yes.
And people who come near us, they always feel like we feel part of the family.
I know.
And I want you to walk away feeling part of our family.
Yeah.
We do not censor ourselves out.
Nope.
Slightly in the sense of...
We may use the F word only once or twice.
And someone may go, you're using the F word...
Too much.
And sometimes mom might say, you're talking really fast. I can't understand you. Mm-hmm. Or how many times are you going to say the word like in this one sentence?
Or I'm going to say literally.
Literally. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, we'll figure it out, though.
I'm with the show.
I'm with the show. So, really quick, though. So, here's that boxing thing, right? Yeah. Back to YouTube.
Yeah.
I didn't know who these guys were. Couldn't care less. And they had a huge boxing match. Sold out 15,000 people.
No, you said 800,000.
Well, 800,000 people bought it live.
Oh, but 15,000 came to the stadium.
Came to the stadium. Whoa. Showed up.
Whoa.
Showed up.
To see these two YouTube challengers.
Yeah. I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are.
Were they youngish?
Yeah, 21, 25.
Got it.
Youngish,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
In this world, 25.
Uh-oh.
Over the hill. It's sort of like if you watch the Housewives reunion.
Yeah.
And Bethany went to Carol.
Yeah, going, Bethany and Carol are
You're trying to be 45. You want to be 45.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, that's a smack. Oh my God.
Oh, that's a smack, Dad. Like, what are you doing trying to be 45 again?
Yeah.
Oh.
She goes, no, I'm not. I'm 54. And I'm proud of it. I had a 55th birthday. And I thought to myself, if we're living to be 120, mm-hmm. we have to give up this age
thing. We have to give up age no matter what.
Completely.
Yeah.
Because if we live to be 120, mm-hmm. I don't want to even think about myself being even middle-aged at 50.
We have to somehow slip into timelessness.
We have to.
Unless somebody is like willing to like go there and then, oh, don't you go there about my age.
Right. And it does mean that we have to leave the youngsters, anyone under 25, in the dust in some sense.
The hipsters, the youngsters.
Well, no matter what, those people, I remember being 25. And feeling like by the time I'm 60 or mm-hmm. 50 mm-hmm. or, excuse me, 40, mm-hmm. I will have conquered everything in my life.
Yeah.
I will have
mastered it. I am not going to do these same things that my parents did. That's right. So ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm not. And then about 35 shows up and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, what happened to that hubris I had? What happened to that? And, you know,
you didn't get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars on YouTube to get that smackdown.
No, I didn't. I didn't make that money. No one thought that me, you know, walking down the street talking to people or you know, dancing a little bit was worth going viral. You know, I'm not, that wasn't my virus. I caught the Lyme disease.
Yes,
that was my virus. But today I want to talk about, and we got so much to talk about, but you had discussed with me this idea. You told me a story about how you heard this one, like how we're seeing the world so differently,
right?
And how freaky it is. Mm-hmm. Do you want to share the story a little bit?
Are you talking about the dentist's office?
I am the dentist's office.
Okay, yeah, I definitely want to tell the story because it was like you were trying to talk to me.
Yes,
we were sitting there together, waiting, and. And they had all four TVs on, you know, Fox, CNN, MSNBC. Yeah. Yeah, it's all the. And these two women don't know each other. First, this was one woman. They're probably mid to late 70s, I would say.
Yeah.
I can't really say for sure, but they just appeared rural to me.
Yeah.
And very. And one was. The one kind of wanted to start a conversation with us, but. I literally shut her down.
You know? I was like, I am not there. I hate the dentist.
I hate going to dentist.
This is not my socializing time.
This is not time. Yeah. And so.
I brought my daughter because she's my support animal. If I could bring my dog to pet, I would.
Yeah, exactly.
But I had to bring my daughter.
Or my pet emu.
Yeah.
Or my miniature horse.
But the best I can do is my daughter. Okay.
And so there was another lady there who looked to be mid-70s as well.
Yeah.
You know? And so there are the TVs going on, and it's about John McCain. And
yeah.
And the first lady that tried to talk to us goes to the older lady. Oh, if only they would have been kind to him when he was alive or given him his accolades.
Yeah.
And the other lady looks up and she goes, well, I seem to think he was very appreciated.
Right.
He had lots of friends in the Senate, and he seems to have done it right. She goes, oh, I don't know. But she goes, but I really love Trump.
Yeah.
And at this point, you're talking to me, and I go, shut the fuck up.
I don't want to hear
this. I got to hear this.
Yeah.
This is going to get good.
Yeah.
And so the other woman goes, oh, you do, huh? Really? And she's, because sometimes it appears that he's kind of sleazy, you know, with, you know, the porn stars. Oh, no, I just love him. You don't realize all the good things he's done for the country. He's just accomplishing so, so much. And you're still trying to talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm going, shut up, Jewel. I got a Kool-Aid drinker here.
Yeah,
somebody drank the Kool-Aid. I'm listening to it.
And I got to know what this is about.
And so the other lady goes, well, you know, I can understand that. He signed a lot of executive orders and took a lot of things Obama did. And, oh, I just hate Obama. I just hated Obama. And she goes, well, you know, he was pretty well respected around the globe.
Yeah.
The other woman is doing. And she goes, oh, no, and I hated that Michelle. Oh, no, before she said that, he goes, and you know what Obama did? She's like, what? Just he vacationed all the time, played golf all the time. And the woman at this point does a double take. And she goes, well, you realize that, you know, Trump takes basically 4 or 5 day vacation, you know, 4 day weekends.
Yeah.
And goes to either his golf resorts or Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
And these, but that's his own stuff. That's his own private stuff. He can do whatever he wants. That Obama took a lot of vacations. And she goes, well, going to his own private stuff, you know, that's about the emoluments clause, you know, and he violates that because he's not supposed to be profiting in any of the things he does. I don't, and I just hate that Michelle Obama. You know what she did? And the woman's like, no.
What did Michelle Obama do?
She changed school lunches on those children. You know, kids, they don't like that healthy stuff. Let them eat what they want to eat. It's noontime. It's recess. How dare she try to make them eat healthy? What kind of woman does that?
Yeah.
And the woman's like, well, you know, at this point, you can tell she's like, I'm up against a Kool-Aid drinker. And she's like going, you know, it's okay for us to disagree. But you know, what's important is that we both voted.
And she goes, yes.
Yes.
And I thought, no, it's not.
No, it's not. But in the meantime, I have to say, okay, what I'm leaving out is that the woman that was so loved Trump kept saying this word all the time.
What was it?
It was okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
She go okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
You're right. I didn't hear how you were very. I was busy doing something else.
Yeah,
and, I knew she was at okie dokie, and also her energy was.
Pixie,
yeah.
A sweet little pixie that drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and in her 70s for sure.
Oh, yeah,
not older.
Easy. Yeah, easy. Yeah. But okie-dokie.
Okie-dokie. Life is good, you know.
You know, I just love that Trump. You know, I hated that Obama. Okie-dokie.
Okie-dokie.
It's okay, you know, that.
And I remember she said something to me once, just briefly
about.
Yeah,
she did talk to you.
For a second.
After she tried to talk to me, I turned away.
Yeah, you turned away. I'm like, I'm not there.
I can't talk to you now, baby.
It's like, I'm the dentist. This is not.
Yeah, I'm barely home.
And she
mentioned
to me, she goes, I just can't believe, oh, now they're saying good things about, you know.
Yeah, about John McCain.
And I thought, no, I think people really liked him. I've always liked John McCain.
Me too.
And I, you know, I voted with him in the primaries a couple times.
I've always respected him as for the service that he did.
Also, I respect the fact that he was willing to make mistakes.
Yes.
And come clean.
Right.
You know, there is that brief, we're going to just give a little brief shout out to John McCain, I guess, since you brought him, we brought him up real quick. But there was an HBO documentary about him as the John McCain as the bells toll. Is that the?
I didn't see it, but yeah, I saw that it was there. For Whom the Bells Toll.
Yeah. And it's from a famous story.
Right.
Is it Wuthering Heights? Mm-hmm. Okay. No, it's
Hemingway.
Hemingway. Thank you. Hemingway. Thank you.
Wuthering Heights.
Is that right?
That's pretty funny.
Is it? Okay. Tell me. You know me.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, please keep going. You know me. I'm free floating here. I'm free thinking. I'm without a net. Okay, I can't handle it. But anyway, he was up for misconduct way back when, maybe 20 years ago. And it really took him down a notch. And he didn't break the law, but he was, the Senate said, we're saying that you use poor judgment. He was guilty of using poor judgment because he used, the plane that he was flying in, he took his family with him on vacation, mm-hmm. but he was doing some work too. Mm-hmm. And that's just against the rules.
Okay.
So he was getting a little bit, and that's when he started becoming a really proponent of really making sure that we don't, this campaign money gets used appropriately.
Right.
Because if it doesn't have strict rules,
we've
got to find the rules.
Yeah.
And so forth. But he said it was really crushing for him. And his wife said she couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. She's like, they were attacking us. They were attacking my husband, who I know mm-hmm. is just like the best man on the planet.
Yeah.
You know? And then you realize, no matter what, sometimes we all use slightly poor judgment.
Yes.
I can totally right now tell you that there will be times when I could be convicted of using poor judgment.
Yes.
And mostly you think, I need to go here. What's the quickest, easiest way to get to this point from point A from point B?
Right.
And if nobody found out how I was going to do it, can I do it this way?
Right, right, right.
I'll be honest with you. There have been times I've forged your signature in a few documents.
Right.
Shh. Don't hear that.
But, and there have been times where you peed in a drawer.
That's not the peeing sound I'm making right now. That's right. Yeah, but sure. But if in the light of day, you're like, oh, I guess that was kind of poor judgment.
Thank God there's forgiveness. Yeah, I can move on from this.
Yes. This is not going to stop me. In the back of my semi,
right.
A plastic drawer, by the way, not a wood one. That would be wrong. It's totally fine at night when no one's looking. But, but then I don't, if I'm not aware, and then a cop knocks on the door, you're like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Or it's daylight, and there's a school bus across the street, or it's nighttime, and I leave the lights on in my cab.
Yeah, then there's something wrong with
them. I got some bigger poor judgments, you guess it,
right?
So that was very interesting.
It is.
And so,
I heard today when his son, he's got a younger son.
Yeah.
He's in the Navy, he's a pilot.
They're a Navy family, for sure.
Yeah. And in the, he did a tweet or something that said, he did it all in the Navy pilot language. And it said, you're all clear for takeoff, visibility, crystal clear, head to the stars, Dad, And it was just, it was touching, And there's something so, we've missed honorableness.
Yeah,
we have, miss it.
We really have.
And you're right. You called it, we're just so engaged in tribalness that we can't see that there's this bigger picture, and that's so sad.
It is.
In Buddhism, they call it, there's a word called, it's called tudrow, T-U-D-R-O-W, and it harkens to like a tiger, a baby tiger that's so close to the ground that can only see what's right in front of it. And you need to grow up and be that bigger tiger where you can see the bigger picture and all around you.
Aww.
But because we're so engaged in this deep tribalism, we're so split, we forget that there's this honorableness, and there's these, like McCain, even as a war hero, his dad was, I think, a senator or something, but could have got him out of
well, he was in the Navy as well.
The Hanoi Hilton.
Navy. Yeah.
And he said, you will not, unless you get everybody else out, I will not go. And you go, man, that's spine, that's backbone. And then you think about what we have today, and you're like, it's just makes you want to throw up.
Well, and what you realize is that you can see tribalism everywhere. I'm really trying to train my brain not to pick a side right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. And and we're trained to do that. Like Normano, he wants to, if he sees something.
Normano.
Yeah,
I love the way you said that. Yeah.
That's because I'm angry at him right now, so I can't just say your daddy.
Okay.
But he needs to, if he hears something, he's like, computer data analysis, and he spews out an either or response.
Right.
And I go, and I know
as a comedian,
you're
supposed to have an opinion about everything.
Yes, exactly.
And so, I put my comedian hat on to say it makes me laugh because I think of myself as more as just, I hope that people who listen to this podcast are just enjoying the ride.
Yeah. When we have to be, because otherwise we'd be crying the whole time.
Exactly.
And we've heard these whiny biatches,
well, can
male
I,
and female, that just
Well, I had a
be crabby
biatch experience this week.
Oh, can I tell that one?
Go for it. You can tell it.
I love this story.
We were both privy to it in different
vantage points. And this harkens, it harkens to the bank story, which if you've been listening to us for a while,
this is my perfect story.
You know the bank story. And you want to tell that real quick?
I'll tell the bank story. This is a story and then
I want you to tell the shaggy dog story.
Okay.
So this has to precede this story.
I cut people slack. Sometimes mom says too much.
Too much.
Because I do believe people, I don't know how people see things. And I try to go, and so therefore, I don't know if I'm always seeing things correctly either. So mm-hmm. I want to cut people a slack. I'm not going to put them in the category of you're a total a-hole, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is a couple years ago, buying a box truck for a job we had. And I go, I'll help this guy out. You know, I want a cash, and he wrote a check out. And I go, well, I'll take it right to his bank. He's right across the street. I'll save him some time. Waiting in line, and I'm waiting in line a long time, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and I'm like, I am next in line. What is going on? Mm-hmm. I get up, and the woman goes, I need to see your driver's license. She's kind of rude, but I'm like, you know what? It's probably mm-hmm. it's been a long day. Yeah.
But you know that clippy tone.
Oh, I did. I need to see your license.
Yeah.
So I pull my license out, and it whips out. Like, it falls out, but like it looks like I threw it. Mm-hmm. And I start giggling because I think it's funny. Like, mm-hmm. oh, it looks like I'm really mad. And then she goes, and I'm laughing, and she looks at me. She goes, I refuse to wait on you.
And I'm like, what? And she walks away.
And she walks away. I go, I don't understand. I go, it was totally an accident. And he goes, I don't want to wait on you. And I don't have to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So then I had to wait for the other checker mm-hmm. to come. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and you're calling me? And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I said, they refused to wait on me.
Yeah.
I go, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And so I literally at that moment I saw – I don't know what happened to her that whole day. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But she assumed I was angry.
Yeah.
And I literally was laughing. I'm like, oh, my mm-hmm. God, that comes across like I'm angry. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, I'm refusing to wait on you.
What would you do now at that same situation? Would you let me see your manager? Let me talk to your manager. What would you do now if this exact same thing happened and she goes, I refuse to wait on you?
Well, since the woman who said, I will wait on you, basically I wait for this one customer. As soon as this customer is finished, I'll wait on you. The other person said that. It just took that person 10 more minutes to get done. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And who knows, because
I might have called the
they're
guy.
No longer tellers anymore.
No, there's no, thank God, right?
Yeah, yeah. They were dinosaurs, Joe.
Yeah. They had all the power.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. We got rid of them.
Yeah, it's like, screw you guys. You guys have all the power, screw that.
Yeah. Just like Julie and I were taking a golf cart ride to we live in a little community where there's a lake and a golf course. And so we went over to the golf course to see how much it would be to golf if we brought our own golf cart. So we came in the golf cart, and they said, well, you can't take your own golf cart here.
Oh,
you've got to use our golf cart, and it's $20. And so we were like, well, this is just weird. We drove over here in the golf cart because it's just like right in your backyard. Just go over.
Yeah.
And they said, no, but at that moment we said, you know, we don't know. There's no longer caddies.
Yeah.
They're kind of like dinosaurs too.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just certain jobs that are just
going away.
They're just going away. And
exactly.
And the little millennials will never, ever even know they existed.
Never know they existed.
It's like they'll never know a bank teller.
They'll never know of a Kodak.
The cruelty of a bank teller.
No. Or they'll never know about literally having, you know, you could go to, you know.
The little photo machine.
Yes.
The little photo shops. Yeah.
I remember you wanted to have a dozen of those.
I wanted to own those.
You're like, I can't wait. You know, like they're all for sale right now. You can probably buy them at
discount.
At discount. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but we can pick up these and then we'll be franchise owners. And I'll have like 100 of these Kodak Polaroid. Yeah. Come drop off your film here in the middle. And I'm like, there's a reason why they're coming away at the dime. But I'm glad you didn't get in there.
Me too.
But you were trying.
I tried.
And then that one other story I have about people seeing you completely not the truth,
right?
We were at the park one day with Elliot, Greg, and his kids.
Yeah.
And hanging out. It was kind of a busy day. And I had just said to Greg, I go, it's so wild, but somebody had managed to cut their dog's hair.
Yeah, in the park.
In the park, in our area.
Yeah.
And I go, it's so weird, but it looks like our dog's hair.
Yeah.
I go, it's kind of the same color, but not exactly.
Like, it was kind of wheat. Yeah. Because Ellie's a wheat terrier.
Like a lighter color.
Yeah.
Sure enough, half hour in, some guy
comes walking over.
And I just, from a family, and I go, oh, his wife. I go, hi, how you doing? I go, could you pick up your dog's hair at least if you're going to cut your dog's hair in the park? You know, I'm real angry. Yeah. Like, I said, you know what, sir? I did not cut my dog's hair. And then I started getting real pissy.
Yeah.
I go, first of all, this is a Wheaton Terrier.
We paid $1,000 for him.
I go, he doesn't have hair. He has fur. He has fur. He has real hair.
Yeah.
You don't cut it at a park. Who do you think you are, you dumb? I go, and this is not my dog's hair. I go, but if you're willing to help me,
yeah,
I'll pick it up with you.
Was he, Jewel?
No, of course not.
Of course not.
I go, go back to your wife and family and tell them that you did it.
Yeah.
You came and chastised me for nothing that I didn't do.
Exactly.
And then Greg's like, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're right, go. But it was weird because it wasn't our dog's hair.
It's not my dog. But if you want to help me, let's pick it up together.
Let's pick it up together.
Not really. I just want to be angry at you.
Yeah. But it was so bizarre because from an outsider looking in.
Yeah.
And So, you know.
It was weird because we were there and there was this big pile of dog hair.
I go, this
and
looks
it
like
looked
our
like
dog's hair.
Elliot's hair. And it just did feel weird.
It did feel weird. Going, oh, this just looks weird.
But then somebody comes marching over because, you know what? I got to give you a piece of my mind. How dare you? Which leads me to my story this week.
Tell me.
From two different vantage points.
Yeah.
You know, so we're at our garden.
Our garden.
It's in Oregon.
Yeah.
And we have two beds.
Yeah.
And our garden's doing fairly good. It's got major, major cucumbers this year. And
we're at the tail end
of the cucumbers.
Sorry.
Some eggplants and some tomatoes and stuff. So Julie says, I'm just going to run in because it's starting to rain. And I go, I'll stay in the car. But I said, I want to roll the windows down. Turn the car off. Let's roll the windows down. Just going to be, you know, it's kind of peaceful out there at the park. And so, you know, you take your little bag and you're out by your bed. And it's just starting to rain just lightly.
Right.
And I see this black SUV just like screeching, like, and pulls in real fast. And by where I'm parked at, it's an exit, not an entrance.
Right.
And anybody knows that this is the exit to this place. I mean, it's just common in Oregon to know that. But this woman pulls in and stops like right by a car, which is just not a parking spot. It's just like right in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, maybe she's lost and she's coming over to
very aggressively
ask me directions, but she's moving fast because I'm thinking in my head
rain.
It's going to rain harder.
Yeah.
She's trying to avoid the rain. And she gets out of her car and leaves the car door open. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. And so she bypasses me and she like starts walking really, really, really fast over to you.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, she probably didn't see me.
Right.
She's going to go ask Julie for directions.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated by this at this point because she's like, she's probably in her 50s or whatever. And she's just walking real fast over it. And Julie's just like bending over, you know, looking at, you know, picking up stuff and looking over there. And I see her go by Julie, and her bed is the next one. She goes to the next
right,
bed.
Right behind me,
and just starts looking at her things and accuses someone is stealing my tomatoes.
Yeah. I go, well, that's just horrible. I go, who'd want to steal tomatoes? And I go, oh, no one would steal my tomatoes. And she's like, what'd you say? I go, I'm just saying my tomatoes are like crap. No one would steal my tomatoes. But I could tell she's really aggravated.
She's agitated and angry. And she
and I'm not
thinks,
connecting yet.
No, you're not.
And then I'm, and all of a sudden, I'm walking, going,
now
oh,
I get it.
She thinks I stole her tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're so close to her bed.
Yes.
That it looks like, from her vantage point, that you were stealing her tomatoes.
Well, can I add one more thing that just came to my mind? We don't have one bed.
No.
We have two.
Right.
And I came with a big Aldi freezer bag.
Yeah.
So it's a big bag.
Yeah.
So she could have seen me go from one box to another box.
Yeah.
And then logically, hers would have been the next box right. I would have visited.
Oh, interesting.
Because, you know, who has two beds?
Yeah.
But we do. Yeah. We, you know, it was near the end of the season. I'm like,
and they still had an extra bed.
I'll take both beds. Yeah. You know, no problem.
Yeah. We got about 80 onions because of that.
Yeah. and also, I've got beautiful basil and sage.
Eggplant.
I don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
And so, but how fascinating.
Yeah.
And she would have been a million, at that moment, before she entered that door, exited her car door, if she would have put $1 million, she would have put $1 million on me stealing her vegetables. Mm-hmm. Like, I found the culprit.
She knew.
She knew.
I don't know what she was going to do with you.
I know. This is why I would be horrible on a jury, because I would never know the truth. Mm-hmm.
I'm watching. I still don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I see her pick something out of the thing and walk over to the little trash can.
And throw it away.
And just marches back in the car and zooms off again.
Zooms off away. Yes, exactly.
And of course, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Till you come over and I go, you have got to tell me.
What did she say to you?
What happened? Because I go, that was no looking for direction.
No, or just like, hey, I wanted to run in before my... Because she had red tomato she could have picked.
Yeah.
But she was one to make sure she wasn't the one stealing her food.
Yeah. And what was she going to do to you? Hold you and make a citizen's arrest?
I mean, shame me? Because there are people out there in the world now that just want to shame you.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I caught you doing something I don't like. Yeah. I want to make sure I tell you.
Yeah.
And like, dude, I want to tell
you that...
I'm giving
you a piece of my mind.
Guess what? I don't like the fact that you're giving me a piece of your mind. It ain't worth sharing. So put your mind. You don't have much to share.
You don't have that much of mind left, girlfriend.
Yeah, put it back together.
But boy, she was so, you know, just marching.
I know, what was that about?
And just left the car door open. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, she's like, you know, she's trying to find directions in the rain and all that stuff. But oh no. It, no matter rain or sleet or hail, she was getting out of that car to get mad at you.
You know, you asked me if I would do anything different, you know, and in these situations, very rarely do I think I should do anything different because I guess I choose to believe this, that I create my whole life, right? So I'm co-creating with other people and it's my job to take out of it what I need to take out of it. And it's their job to take out of it what they need to take out of it. And so I'm going to take what I can, and I hopefully you can glean something in your personality. Mm-hmm. I will never know what you're supposed to learn.
Like,
never.
Can you imagine, you know, she goes to bed that night, she, you know, takes off her clothes, brushes her teeth, washes her face, puts on her PJs, gets into bed, says her prayers first, maybe kneels down and says, "Dear God, I just want you to know I'm so sorry that I did that to that poor lady and that I was so angry that I thought that somebody was going to steal my tomatoes, my little shitty-ass tomatoes that were...
that were cracked open. Why are they cracked open? Lord, what's going on? Why are all my tomatoes?
Lord, why don't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
And God would say, hey, I told you to give your first fruits away, bitch.
That's right.
And they'll be taken away one way or another.
One way or another. So maybe she had a little... you know, consciousness to struggle with.
I wonder if she thought I didn't catch her or I did catch her, but with no proof.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure she's the one that do it and she just lied.
But I'm going to say something, okay? We're imagining her, you know, going to bed at night. But it was me, not you, that had dreams about that incident.
Yeah.
I do not know why, but I struggled.
Yeah.
All night long. Yeah. And I was putting it out of my mind. I didn't have anything.
No.
It wasn't like I was festering. Nothing.
No. But it just came in. Hey, her energy mixed with your
energy.
It just kept coming in. Your subconscious mind dreamt about it.
Yeah.
I understand.
And I said, Julie, did you have any problems with, you know, that incident last night? And the thing, no. Not really. Oh, okay. I did, Jules. And I was like.
Well, I just felt it was, meaning probably because. Connect that with the dentist incident.
Yes.
And you're realizing that people see things so differently.
So differently.
Than the way you're seeing it.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine hating Barack Obama because he was on vacation a lot?
Yeah.
Out of all the things that I remember about that man, President Obama.
Yeah, that he golfed. They said that he golfed like 8 times in 8 years or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's just going on vacations a lot wasn't one of them. Yeah. I know he spent time with his grandmother and grandfather, mm-hmm. I guess, in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, they lived there.
Yeah.
you know, that wasn't uncommon. Yeah. I know near the end of his term, he went to Africa and it was a big trip.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, because that was President Trump's whole big deal. Like,
oh, I know.
He spent so much money on Secret Service and traveling.
And
so
golfing.
Much. But they said at the rate President Trump was going in mm-hmm. the first 6 months,
yeah.
he would surpass everything in the first 2 years of his presidency that Barack Obama did in his 8 years.
8 years, yeah. So, and I think he's already been
yeah,
done that.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I
don't been there, that. Done that.
Yeah. So, but it's so weird. You're going, mm-hmm. you're like... They're taking the they're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and I don't know how else to put it.
There's no other way of putting it.
Because it really is being programmed.
Because what we're hearing is
okie-dokie.
They're telling
us
it's
so nice out there.
I mean, and we have evidence of people saying that the truth can be interpreted different ways.
Right.
And then you go, what is the truth? Mm-hmm. We have to change the name of that word then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not truth. It's an interpretation. Mm-hmm. Not truth, the interpretation.
Colbert was right all those years ago about the word truthiness.
Yeah, truthiness. Truthiness. Exactly. We used to be called spin. Now it's just called truthiness mm-hmm. or whatever. But somebody made a comment. I don't know who to give it credit to. They said, you know, 40 years ago, you could watch... You'd get your news from different people, but it'd be the exact same news.
Yeah.
Now, you go to different stations or different people, and the news is completely different.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this harms us. Now, I remember a time in my life, not too far distant past, I was ensconced, was that the right word, in conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Pizzagate, I would have been like all heads in, like, oh, yeah, that's happening, man. I get it. You know, and at what, now I wouldn't be all like crazy. I wouldn't bring a gun there because I'm like, I got to stop this, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But, and then at some point I grew up saying, what does this, how does this serve me?
Mm-hmm.
How does this serve me mm-hmm. to feel this way about everything?
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, maybe you get more mature and you realize that the universe moves towards life
mm-hmm.
and stuff moves forward, even though we're all flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the most part, we all have a vision of having better things.
Mm-hmm.
Like we want to move life forward
mm-hmm.
for the betterment of everyone, for the most part,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'm not saying bad stuff doesn't go down because
right.
the Catholic Church
right.
has some issues.
Scary.
And... it's being Catholic and you know, you got a letter from your aunt, a call from your aunt.
Yes.
You're 87. I'm 87 years old.
I'm
87. But don't ask me my age because it's not important.
That's right.
Because I'm going to live to be 120.
That's right.
But she sent you an article.
Yes.
And she's like, read this article. Call me back. Must discuss.
Right.
And it was interesting because, it talked about Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, all the thousands of kids. And I don't know. And to me right now, the past is important, but really it is how we handle this moment that's
yes.
more important.
Yes.
Like, okay, what is our systematic way of dealing with
yes.
even how do we stop abuse right now?
Right.
How do we, and because it can't be, it should not be going on at this moment or the last 10, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. It should not be going on
mm-hmm.
because now the veil has been lifted.
Mm-hmm. But it is going on in countries that are quote unquote yes. behind us.
Behind us.
Right.
Like, so we got to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
And then we got to help everybody
yes. yeah.
from other countries.
It's a lot of work to do, but we yes. got to get in there and do it.
And so, I want to see it from that perspective because I know we all have a hand in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Catholics. I mean, Willow Brook?
Mm-hmm. Willow Brook, I think. I'm not sure.
It's a massive church mm-hmm. in the suburbs of Chicago.
Right, massive.
You know, one of those mega churches.
Massive, mega.
The minister had to resign because of sexual improprieties. Was that?
Whatever, something sexual.
Something sexual, a big lawsuit, $3 million.
Okie dokie.
The board had to leave because they didn't know how to handle it.
Okie dokie.
Mm-hmm. You know how to handle that stuff? Quickly and openly.
Right.
Like, hey, we found this out.
Yep.
Ain't going to happen again.
Right.
You're out of here.
Right.
And the truth is, I remember I was listening to this one minister talk, not a Catholic priest, a minister. It might have been, Big, huge preacher, died at 99. Just
Billy Graham?
Billy Graham's son, mm-hmm. or grandson, one of the Grahams. Mm-hmm. But he was part of this on how to deal with these sexual, like, mm-hmm. how to deal with sexual abuse in the church, mm-hmm. and how, and what kind of protocol you should have so that it never happens. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, guess what? There should be rules so that it never happens. And if you have these rules, it protects everybody. Right.
Because predators are predators, yes. and they go to places where they can do their preying undisturbed.
It is the 20/80 principle. You know, not all priests are bad, not all ministers are bad.
No.
But the one or two that are bad, they spread their seed. And they touch so many people that it makes you feel like it's all bad.
You know, and it was a lesson for me in that because, you know, as a psychotherapist, I understand the impact of abuse, childhood abuse. Yeah. But I always sort of had this covertly in my mind that in some sense we should train our kids to be strong
so 100%.
That they can weather. You know, because, I mean, I was sexually abused. Were you ever sexually abused?
No, but you talked to me about being sexually abused, and we've had situations come up that were close.
Right.
And but I never felt it was my fault because you were so open about it.
Right.
It was really, you're going to come into contact with these a-holes.
Right.
I go, so you better, you know, don't worry about it.
Right.
It's not yours. Right. But if you see these signs, get the F away.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
And
so, like, cause I was always kind of for, you know, doing that kind of thing. But then I hear some of these stories of these men now that are in their 40s or 50s that were as altar boys that were just abused from an early age. And like there was the two brothers whose dad was a major alcoholic.
Yeah.
And the priest just, you know, totally, oh, I'm your friend.
Yeah. Found the weak family.
Like, the dad was not really present there to protect the children, you know. And so, and then I started going, you know, Chris, you got to change your mind on this a little bit.
Right.
You know, yes, you can weather sexual abuse.
Yeah.
But when you see because I can remember loving the church. It was my life as a child. It was Catholic church, Catholic school, the nuns. It was everything.
Right.
You know, and it was being so close to God. And you can imagine being crushed by that institution. As opposed to where I was molested. I was molested in a tavern.
Yeah.
But my grandpa was passed out. I was sitting on a bar stool.
Yeah.
And I got molested as a five-year-old.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's not in a crowded bar. Yeah, but I have to tell you
this. So that's not like uncommon, probably.
No,
you know?
No, it's not. And that's the thing. I mean, we want to raise, Jordan Peterson said this, and I thought this was so true. And this is why we're getting healthier as a population.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, your generation, a lot of kids got abused.
Right.
Sexually.
Right.
You know, a lot of kids.
Right.
You guys grew up and didn't become sexual predators.
No.
Okay, you didn't, not, you know, maybe a portion of you. You know, when it happened, got twisted or whatever, and so forth. And so we know that we're gonna weed this out of our culture completely.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're more aware of it, we're gonna weed it out faster.
Right.
And so forth. And we're just gonna do it.
Right.
And talking about the church growing up.
Yeah.
Your abuse of the Catholic Church is interesting because you love the church.
Right.
But your abuse of the Catholic Church was you had some mean nuns.
Oh, major ass.
That would beat you.
Yes.
That it was legal to beat you.
Yeah.
For doing nothing.
I know.
You were a good girl.
Yeah.
And they beat you.
And I can remember a nun coming up behind me and hitting my back so hard. I think I was in fourth grade.
Yes.
That I couldn't breathe. She just came. I didn't know where she was going. Came up to me, hit my back so hard. And I remember I put my head on the desk.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I can't breathe. I can't get my lungs to work or something like that.
Right.
Oh, I guess it's okay to die if a nun kills you.
And so that kind of led you to the thought process because you've had other instances where adults have been physically aggressive towards you when you were a child.
Right.
And that thought came through your mind, goes, I guess it's okay to die by a hand of a person who, quote unquote, loves you. A nun loves you. A family member loves you.
Right.
And, like, I guess it's just a time to die.
Yeah.
Well, no. No. And so we get
now
better.
We go, F you, yeah, motherfucker.
You can't hit me.
I'm calling DCFS.
You can't hit me. Yeah. And then you go, oh, and then go, because people, adults make mistakes. The more I am adult, I realize that I am not perfect in any sense of the word. There are moments that my lizard brain wants to act out.
Right, right.
And hopefully I can catch it fast enough before it does. Mm-hmm. But in this world right now where you're led to believe, if you hook on to that thought, there's a thought out there that for the first time in a long time, you're allowed to say what you really feel, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and you're allowed to act out aggressively.
Right.
You know, screw the, you know, being politically correct. Screw that. You know, but
screw being dignified.
Dignified.
And honorable.
Yes.
And doing a situation with
hell
grace.
I ain't going to take it anymore.
Right.
You know, but no, you know, if you that thought is out there, but don't grab onto it, people, mm-hmm. because you don't want to see the end of that.
The thing, too, that also disturbs me, I mean, I'm certainly not going to, can't solve this whole problem, but this issue that people tie the pedophiles in the church to gay,
oh my gosh,
to gay priests.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, you know, now that my gaydar is much, much better, there's a lot of priests that look gay to me.
Yeah.
And if they're not acting out or whatever, but I don't consider them pedophiles.
Well, they're not.
But I know the research, you know, bears that out. But in this culture,
right,
it's like, we got to get the gays out of the priesthood.
That's that one priest in Ireland. He's so for... He wants our Pope to resign because of he thinks that this would all go away if they were not able to have gay men as priests. I'm like, first mm-hmm. off, let's just chill the mm-hmm. first off. We know you protest too much that that is probably the truth. That dude, be careful.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actually evidence that your anger could represent the fact that you are repressed.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Second of all, I believe that first of all, that priests should get married. Gay men, get married. Mm-hmm. Straight men, get married. Mm-hmm. I think women should be priests, get mm-hmm. married. For no other reason that it would not stop the pedophilia mm-hmm. or the sexual abuse, because mm-hmm. guess what? Mm-hmm. It happens mm-hmm. in mega churches where men can get married mm-hmm. and women can get married. Mm-hmm. Happens there, mm-hmm. but it widens the pool of being the best priest.
Yeah. Can you imagine if, you know, you're a woman priest and you see, you know, some guy coming over to a kid, you're like,
Oh no, you didn't. I'm stopping that.
You're not now.
Back the
kid, get away from my kids.
And you know, it's so weird because it makes me feel so sad that I'm reading this book on habits, and I'll talk about it next week because it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. But talk about it this week?
Well,
are we running out of time?
We're only got like 7 minutes.
That cannot be true.
I know. It's crazy. But the first
give us another
thing,
hour, BBS.
Please. But the first thing that talked about this man who's a Starbucks manager of, you know, doing pretty well at Starbucks, had a very, very hard upbringing, alcoholic father. Mm-hmm. And he says, though, he goes, I had two drugged out parents my whole life. And my bosses, he started working at Starbucks at age 16, mm-hmm. were able to give me what I needed. And it's touching because you want people to rise, to be able to find mentors without going, well, what's in it for me? What is that? Why is that adult being so kind to that 16-year-old kid?
Exactly.
Without thinking, mm-hmm. is he wanting something in return?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's like... You
that's
want,
a beautiful. That's awesome, Julie.
You know, but like,
so like
you want to be the adult that says, "Hey, I want to mentor you."
Like I was even thinking today, like if those children that got separated from their parents.
Oh, I know.
If they needed adoption, I wanted to be able to be open to adopting one of
those
kids.
Or like adoption in the interim.
Yes.
Like, hey, we want you to find your mom and dad.
Yeah, we'll help you find
them. In the meantime, you can hang out with us.
Yes.
We'll be part of the family.
That'd be awesome.
We'll make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
And then when you get reunited, we'll make sure we're gonna keep looking.
Yes.
But in the interim, you're going to be okay.
That's what I want. Sign me up.
Okay. Are you sure?
100%. Sign me up.
My first thought was, you saying this means that I will be the one having to quote unquote care for this child, driving them to school, making sure the kid's okay. You know, I mean, let's just be real here.
I'll be the wise one.
Yeah.
I'll be the.
You'll be the grandparent.
Yes.
You're like, I'm not going to be fostering kids. I'm like, great. And well, you'll have to go and take care of all the paperwork for me and do all this stuff. And why don't you be the foster parent? I'll be quote unquote the foster grandparent because that's exactly what I want.
That's what I want.
You know, that's kind of what I want. But but I was even hearing about that one story. It was in NPR about three months ago, and it might have been in Pennsylvania. And I was heartbroken by the story because you realize the cycle of abuse.
Yeah.
And like you said, we want to be stronger because in a healthy way.
Right.
Because we want, if you have been abused, and I can't imagine anybody going through life without being in a sticky situation.
Right.
And I can name six or seven in my a handful, where which is one and a half handfuls, six or seven times.
66 or seven sticky fingers.
Yeah. Where it was just a little bit questionable, you know.
Yeah.
But I can see now where, like, okay, so the story was this, that these parents who had, either it was a priest or someone in the school, that the guy was handsy and had molested people, didn't have anything done. Nobody didn't, you know, parents wasn't known, but it didn't go anywhere. Well, the kids that had this happen to them were still in the same neighborhood, sent their kids to the same school where this man was still at, and it was happening to their kids. And they didn't do anything about it because they thought, we thought he had stopped by now. Like, what? Yeah. I mean, so we...
And even the kids, they had a nickname for the priest. It was like handsy, whatever.
You know, and I guess in some ways, it would be okay to say, okay, we know this guy's a little handsy. Stay away. But they're like, some adult has to go, here's your rep.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nobody said it's anything's happened or gone far. Do this. But we've got to protect you in the sense by protecting the kids by saying, here are the rules. You are never alone with a child. Never. And there's no reason.
Yeah.
This is a job.
Yeah.
This is a job.
And you know, you're right now talking about just being handsy, not going any further than that.
Yeah.
We're saying knock that off.
Knock that off.
Yeah.
You know,
keep your hands in your pockets.
You don't have, I mean, if people are calling you handsy, that doesn't mean that you're giving people high fives.
Right.
It means that you're hugging a little too long.
Yeah.
Making people feel uncomfortable.
Right.
That happened to me in, at my college, at a university. And
I remember you said that.
And I thought it, and I didn't think anything of it because
I remember that.
I come from a place where people show love. And maybe
we hug each other.
I don't like, I'm not a big hugger, you know, because I just, personal space. But other people are like, oh, he just likes to be hugged. You know, people need that sometimes. I don't, that's not me. I'm not drawn that way. But if you need it, I can allow my personal space to be, you know, pushed up against to get your needs met. That's fine. But I was in college and one professor wanted to meet with all of us individually first, 15 minutes. And at the end, he wanted to give everybody a hug. And I'm like, oh, sure. Guy was like 65, 70 years old.
I'm 67 years old.
I mean, he was getting older. Maybe he might be, I think he's probably in his 70s. And the first day of class, he apologized to all of us. He goes, I heard from the grapevine. I was, you know, that some people had complained about me giving everybody a hug. I'm really sorry about that. That made you feel uncomfortable. And, you know, it won't happen again. And I'm like, oh, and I'm going, who complained about a hug? That was my first thought. It was just a hug. Now, knowing more about this guy's journey, he had just turned Catholic. Like, he had just found God and was all filled with the Holy Spirit and love.
Yeah.
And he just was like,
I want to hug every one of my students.
Every one of my students. I'm filled with love. I've met people like that.
Yeah, we're going to have a great semester.
I do not associate that person with, I'm going to feel you up.
Right.
I'm going to touch your butt or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, probably not appropriate to hug your students now. It's just like, I can be your mentor, and but we will never touch. Mm-hmm. High fives, maybe a handshake. That's as much as you get.
Right.
Maybe a pat on the back.
Yeah.
But that's probably crossing the line,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it was interesting. Yeah, and then he died a year later from cancer.
Oh,
but he was
no.
going. But see, he was going. If you know the whole story,
it was full circle.
He was, you know, he had cancer. You know, he became a Catholic.
Holy Spirit. Yeah.
He had just gotten baptized.
Yeah.
He had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, he just gave you a effing hug.
Yeah.
Now maybe he just wasn't attracted to me, and all I got was a hug. I don't know. Now I feel a little insulted. You know. I mean, why am I not good enough? A little pat in the behind, whatever. You know, I don't know. But you know, like I said, it didn't bother me because at that time. I was going to drum circles where everybody was like drumming and hugging each other, you know, like, yeah, no big deal. The soul is eternal. It's just my, but
it's
but,
just flesh.
Right. So here's the problem. You know, a little bit of abuse that happens to me. It doesn't totally mess me up my entire life.
Right.
But abuse that gets then and more abuse.
Right.
Can really mess up somebody else.
It does. Yeah.
So you do your best.
Yeah.
And hopefully as
and
society.
I see that now because, you know, that like a lot of men that are kind of abusers, I mean, they want to know, the first thing they want to know about a woman is like, you know, was your daddy around?
Yeah. Yeah. Because
we know.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. He was an alcoholic. Really?
Oh, hi. How you doing? Love you. Yeah, because if your daddy's not around, maybe you're a little bit easier, a little bit looser.
Get a little wounded.
A little wounded. Because crazy, crazy sex.
Yeah, I see that we can have a relationship here.
I don't have to be so damn perfect. Because let's face it, my dad, he's not perfect, but he's pretty damn great. And so I have to, no man compares to him.
No.
So, you know. I don't even let it try.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, don't worry about it. You cannot compete with my father.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
No worries.
No worries. It's good. It's too bad.
Like, too bad. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
He's going to kill you. Don't worry about it. He'll get you.
Exactly. Exactly. So, girl, that was a show.
Good Lord.
Was it good for you?
I need a cigarette.
Was it great?
It was great. It was great. It was great.